Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing the brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Marco. How are you?
I'm hanging right in there, buddy. See, our buddy Kelly will be dialing in a little later. He is in a meeting right now, but he'll dial in as soon as he's out. And just so you know who we got on here. We got Rocky, we got Don Monroe, we got Steele, and we got Jimmy Booth.
There you go. There you go. You know, folks, it totally amazes me how we've been on for 536 shows, Marco Bill.
I know.
That's got to be a record somewhere. I don't know, you know. I mean, I don't think there's a big...
I started playing them continuously 24 hours around the clock, starting with the old ones.
Yeah.
It takes about a week. It takes a long time to go through them.
You know, that's a lot of podcasts, I got to say. You know?
I know.
We've been going forever and ever and ever, you know. You know, folks, it's been a very, very, very hard week for the Bigfoot community at large. You know, we lost another one just this week, guys. Leroy Blevin, you guys all know Leroy for his work on the Patterson-Gimlin film and the Ark and Bigfoot in the Bible and the JFK conspiracy, four-person shooters, which is kind of weird because I just read something today that they're starting to believe now after, I don't know, what's been 50 years, 60 years, that there could have been just one shooter. Now there's four, and Leroy's been saying that forever. You know, Leroy Blevins passed on Sunday morning at about 5:30 a.m. and has left, you know, his family. And we want to dedicate this show to Leroy and his wife Tracy and his children. And you know, Leroy, we know you're sitting up there in the sky right now in heaven, you know, right next to Bigfoot and JFK on the Ark, looking down upon us and smiling.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yep. So you know, like I said, we're going to dedicate this show to Leroy and his family, and you know, their times right now.
I was helping him publish his books, and
yep.
I have copies of everything he's done.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, for publication. And,
I want to say the Bigfoot in the Bible was probably one of my favorites that he wrote.
Oh yeah, and the Ark.
Yeah.
He also wrote about the Ark. And
the
JFK,
Ark.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, he did two on JFK.
It's crazy, you know. We lost J.C. Johnson earlier this year, and we lost Leroy Blevins today, or a couple days ago. So, like I said, we're gonna carry on. We're gonna get this show back on the road, and we're gonna dedicate it to him and his family and his wife Tracy. We're out there, honey. We're praying for you. We know how tough things can be. You know,
DJ, I'm gonna have to leave right now. I'll see you, and thanks for taking it.
No problem, Marco. You know, folks, our first guest, I don't know what to say about him. I mean, there isn't many words that I could say that would encapsulate his life. He, when I first got into this business, you know, everybody knows that I thought you guys were all nuts, okay? Thought you were all crazy about Bigfoot. I was going to prove you all wrong, and I actually got indoctrinated, I guess, the proper way. I met the right people in the beginning, because if I didn't, I probably wouldn't be here today, you know. This man, I have spent probably the first 3 years of my Bigfoot indoctrination with him, you know, out looking for Bigfoot. And when I'm going to say it, he showed me a lot. Besides my father, he took the time to try to make me understand and open my mind to what I was looking at. Because, let's be honest, you know, you see this stuff, you're not going to think it's true. You're going to automatically jump to, you know, conclusions and speculation and say to yourself that it's wrong. You have to be around the right people, the people that have actually, you know, heads on their shoulders, you know. And let's be honest, there's a lot of nuts of us out there too, okay? You know, but the person that I'm speaking of has been around as long as, I guess, my dad has, I'm guessing, you know, besides Bob. And his name is Don Monroe. You know, I got to meet Don Monroe in Paris, Texas, on a day that was hot. The mud was dry. The lake was receded to the point where there wasn't really much lake, and it looked like a giant Jurassic Park, okay? And I remember Don telling me, and this is his exact words, "I have never seen such a perfect print because the mid-tarsal break is right there." And I went, "What the heck's a mid-tarsal break?" And he goes, "It's a hinge foot, like on a monkey." And I went, "Oh, I understand." And he started explaining to me how, you know, they could bend their feet, you know, at the middle of it, like most monkeys can, which I didn't even know that existed. And now I understand. And, you know, I look for that every time I see a print now. So, folks, I want to welcome on Don Monroe, the legend and everybody's mind, especially his. How are you, sir?
Well, I never changed. Except my socks. Tommy, I tell you what, you taught me a few things, too, about how not to get out there in front too fast. No use to be out there running after those creatures in the swamps and making snacks like I wouldn't be doing.
I think it was...
I used to marvel you were bit by snakes because we used to think about the water moccasins out there and copperheads, and I used to wonder about that and worry about you a little bit in those days.
Right. Right. You know, Don, we
because of your military training and your ability in the force was pretty good. And I admired your youth and your strength. But you remember the time we, well, more than one time, but, you know, a lot of things happened down here that were quite classical.
Right.
And, your dad still around?
He's still around. He's, you know, he's like you. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keep going and going and going.
But,
you know,
no,
I
we're
mean,
drinking the wind. We drink the wind. That's what keeps it going. The wind's in our blood. You can't hardly believe that's possible, but, you know, oxygen is what rules the world, and the more you breathe, the better you go.
Absolutely.
I want to see you win a real bad day. you, no kidding. You know, you can talk and scream and holler and explore, but, you know, the thing is, the proof's in the pudding, and everybody's in the start the same way. But
right.
You're right. There's a lot of things to learn, and I like to know that those who are listening will at least pretend for the hour or the half, 15 minutes, the time that they do believe it, so they can believe it, because there's things that we can bring out. All of us may have something different, but there's things we can bring out that would include some conclusions that aren't possible. And without experience, well, you can get that. But the thing is, do you learn from experience or just grab it over and over again and never real profit by it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think
Don,
smarter now than I used to. I don't know if it's working or not, but that's where I'm going. I'm trying to think smarter, not just off the top of the wall, but underneath the ground and the roots. The problem, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what's on here for tonight, except for just to be supportive. But people out there, you got to realize that there's more to this Bigfoot community thing than we think. There's more than one kind, more than one story, more than one possibility of what they could be. And it goes into regions. They aren't all the same thing. Like, we aren't all the same things from south, north, west, and east. And that goes a long ways around the world. We're all different. And the gene pool of these creatures could make a big sway difference in what they really turn out to be and what they act like and how they respond.
Hmm.
So what can I do? Tom, I said, thanks for the show. I appreciate you coming on and say hello for the new year coming on.
You know, Don, you've been, well... You know, folks, I got to say this. You know, you listen to his voice, you hear the energy and the vigor in his voice, and you probably think to yourself, he's TJ's age. Not even close, folks. Okay? Not even close. This man...
Well, I mean, I have a birthday party every Friday night. Every Friday night, I have a birthday.
That's so, you, Don.
Yeah, 52 weeks of the year, I have 52 parties. So... You're bound to stay younger that way.
Yeah. Don, you know, I mean, I know you've written one, I think possibly two books. I'm not positive. You'll have to jump at me on that. Fourth one now?
I'm on one right now. It's called What the Hell. The title, What the Hell. Everybody will see the manuscript, turn back the page, and they say, What the hell is this? Every page they turn, see? It's mostly pictures.
Right.
It's about 350 pictures, but there's also going to be a little dialogue with it, and it'll be out in 2019. My last book's out 2012, and it's pretty popular with horse owners, and it's on Amazon. It's called Rated Horses Are Coming. It tells you a lot about wild feral, wild hominids. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm always people with horses to get that book if they want to. Anybody who just – horses is the only thing in there. It's a lot of astronomy and astrology and factual matters. We traveled 9 years to do that book across the United States, as far as the West Indies and Hawaii and other places, and to get the documentation of that book, Indian tribes, all kind of things.
Yeah.
It's called The Braided Horses Are Coming, and it's on Amazon. And I think it's about $25 or so, I'm not sure.
Awesome. Don, I want to take you back. I want to take you back to the day when we were at, hold on, I'm trying to make sure I got my brains right. You had Clay's Bluff in Paris, Texas. You remember that day?
Well, it was more than one. Which day was it?
Well, it was our first encounter where there were prints every single where, you know, leading to holes and clamshells and,
yeah,
know,
I think I do pretty much that episode of time. I'm not sure what day it was, but it was a lot of days.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll tell you who was with us, and then I'll bring you back, okay? It was you, me, Becky Sawyer, Bob, my father, and Mike Spell.
Yeah, I remember that day. Now, you know, Becky Sawyer, I'll probably butter him up because she's very important in some of my early discoveries with you and also separately because she was the first one. I'm not sure you had the pictures in your collection. You must have them. I got them in my collection, but her and I together up there in the woods found the first baby Sasquatches side by side with the mother. And
yep.
She put them first. And we had to take the cast, and it was a wonderful time. But she was from New York City or somewhere in New York, and she was she was really something else. I really appreciated her friendship and her kinship and on the trail. We had a good time out there just finding it unusual. And we buried a water moccasin when I was getting kind of snappy at this, I put it down with my rifle butt into the mud and his tail lagged back, and I never forget, he's down there climbing over my shoulders.
And, you remember the story, Don, about, remember Becky was up in the tree with the gun?
Yeah, I had that picture for a while. She's going to go on some magazine cover with a AR-15 or whatever she had, fatigue pants. So I kept thinking it was really quite the Bigfoot take, but it was comical, and it was a hit for gender. They had some credit. You know, women to me are very important in this whole matter, more so than men, because they're more intuitive to things when they get trained how to tell. And men, macho men, have been there and done that. I have been anywhere and done anything myself. I just have looked at it, and I don't like the statement "I've been there and done that." You know, that kind of stuff to me just tells me the person has been anywhere. But
right.
Women aren't that so much. They're more able to look over their shoulder and under their shoes at the same time.
I agree with you. I agree with you. You can't do that.
If she's listening to the show, hello, Becky.
You know, Don, you've been everywhere, done everything, looked for pirate ships, Bigfoot. I remember, let me tell you this, folks. Here's how I think of Don. Don's the greatest person in the world because you could take him to your children and sit them down and say, tell the story about the pirate ship in the Caribbean, and your kids would be at the end of the story going, tell us more, Grandpa Don. Because
well,
I have several boats
in my life, and I have sunk one and gave one away, so I guess I have earned my licks of the pirate ship era, but not quite. I never did find the balloons I want to find, but I found a lot of balloons along the way. You might call it that way. I built a boat, too, a sailboat myself.
Right.
It no longer exists either. But we had a lot of fun playing pirates and playing, playing explorers.
You know, Don, losing Leroy on Sunday makes me, kind of digress a little bit. And I was hoping you could share with us in the audience, probably one of our adventures. And the one that I hope you share was the one that we actually found the baby Bigfoot walking alongside the mother. Can you remember that story?
Well, yeah, but I don't know how to relate it. The one I would tell about the time you and I was in Minnesota up there, and I separated from you at night. I lived at night at 1 in the morning, and I went down and sat on some rocks, well, cement buff, in fact, and you guys chased a Sasquatch down within 30 feet of me in the dark. I couldn't see it, never did, but it was down there going ho-hum and huff-huff. I was kind of irritated because it got cornered down in the brush. And I could almost feel the presence of the creature. It was just the thought of it being there. It was just close by. And I then ran up the hill and then passed you guys wherever you was at and stopped in an ant pile. Remember that?
Yes!
It stood in an ant pile, and it's long enough to have it. No doubt about it, got chewed up a few times by ants. And I try to tell everybody about why it's doing that for, because in the Native Americans know that you can put red ants to bite trouble, withstand the pain, you can almost heal the issue if you take it enough times. So they have a certain medicinal in their venom. And you and I have seen that, and I cast that for you. I think I did. Yeah, I did cast that for you in that ant pile. And you got the cast somewhere with ants probably in it. Well, I found a similar sense, and I not the same exact story, but that creature was gimping along in the brush, and it was, I can't say how tall it was, but it had to be at least 6 or 7 feet tall. And it was 30 or 40 feet of me. I never did see it, but I sure heard it going through the brush. And that's the very same day I'd gone down with Java Bob down to the brush and found where a white-tailed deer ran out of the brush. And it was acting very strange. I'm a hunter, and I've been a lot of times on animals. So I know the actions it was doing was strange. It was horrified that someone found it. And the way it ran away was like the fear of being caught, I mean, just physically caught. Well, I cataloged that in my mind and came back to the same spot that night when I went down the brush pretty much. That's where the Sasquatch headed for. What I'm trying to tell about Tommy was enthusiastic about this creature we found with a foot in the ant pile, which was really quite a discovery if you don't have animals alive. And that's one of the things I haven't forgotten about.
You know, Don, that story, you know, I've actually told that story two or three times over the last probably 7 or 8 years on the show. And I have to be frank, I couldn't remember who was with me. I just remember that that happened. And it was you and Bob and me. And we were on the backside of that one lake, and it was right there in that anthill. And you're the one who explained to me that, you know, the venom from those ants, because you deduced that the foot of the creature must have been stubbed a toe or broke a toe, if I remember. Yes. And that it was...
The thicker venom is more powerful than most ants, but there's ants in South America that are even more pungent. And the Indians down there will take them on, put them on their chest sometimes in their ceremonies, and they freak out, and they space out, you know, with the pain. But they do rejuvenate a lot of your body functions because they claim, and I'm not saying it's so, but it possibly is, it rejuvenates your immune system to work overtime, you might say, and to replenish what the pain takes away, and in doing that, you... don't regain your youth, but you get enthusiastic. You do something. You know, it's not a new thing. There are a lot of ways of analyzing that and different kind of ways that we're doing it with different kind of approaches to that same kind of idea.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I mean, I'm trying to remember, was it a year ago or a year and a half ago we all came up to Idaho and we popped in at whatever time in the morning it was? I can't remember.
I never got a phone call from you and your dad on the road, and you had a party of four, I think, with you, somebody. And it was about 2 a.m. I had some elk stew and some stuff on the stove. And I had a pretty humble life up here, pretty outback, you know. And I had to, I never forget, Tom was coming in the house and says, "Where's the hot water? Where's the hot water?" I said, "Well, you got right, Dick. You can ship away these stones and just frozen ice here and make on the stove heat some water up." He said, Where's your showers?" I said, "Well, it's the winter time that fills up." And that's true. So I said, "You got to heat the water on the stove." And I says, Tom says, "Where's the nearest motel?" I said, "About 100 miles south." I said, "You stay all night in the floor if you want to roll out." And they didn't do it.
Yep.
But the car switched away, you know. But Tom was shocked. I had no shower, no water in it at that time, you know, December. And like now it's colder than heck up there. And it gets a lot colder. It was, I think, you and him and a couple other guys with you. I forget who they were. But.
Yeah.
And he just had enough for you guys to eat that for a week. I had enough stew there. I said, "Hey, Tom, take it with you." I don't think I want to end up doing elk, you know.
Stew and coffee.
Huh?
Stew and hot coffee.
Yeah, we had that here, yeah, but that was all I had. Maybe washing out or two. But, you know, you Bigfooters out there, people are the ones who want to really do this. They don't always have time for the hygiene they want to do entirely. They have to make do with what they have. And you can see stained shirts down the front, coffee stains, and otherwise. They have to have a little bit of they got to have an extra endurance to be a Bigfooter, a real one. I mean, out the field, you know. I mean, not behind desks, not think tank stuff.
Yeah.
And there's very few left that do that. I mean, there's on the hoof attack of the Bigfoot community is very rare anymore. A lot of laughing Johnnies and people who want to be and so on, but there's a lot of knowledge out there they don't share into it. That's right. Why I got disappointed in the Bigfoot community a long time ago when I first joined after 50 years alone. I never joined the societies for their own reasons, and I probably did join one with the idea that it'd share, and they didn't necessarily. They poo-pooed all kind of new ideas and so on, so I went back independent again years ago. I do better on my own with my own kind of crew, and I've got some wonderful guys that work with me. I got over 50 mixed-gender people we've worked with over the years. Over that, I've counted them before, and there's over 50 of them. And mm-hmm. most of them are unacquainted, except for just here and there. But I'm presently working with Ghost Hunting Theories program, Sharon Day's program on my discoveries, and she's real helpful on exposing the world to some of our new ideas. And I admonish you to hear that show if you can, and check out what's new from Tom Monroe. You might say that too. Other people on there.
What's the show they're doing?
GhostHuntingTheories.com.
Okay.
GhostHuntingTheories.com is number one in the world for crypto shows around the world. This 2018, they voted her the first place in the winner on the popularity of the show.
Wow. You know, Don, I have to stop you for a second because, you know, I never thought that you would even get involved with something like that with ghost hunting because, you know, how you know,
well
Don,
ghost hunting is, you know,
you're
something I'll not elaborate, but
and people
we have discussed
have
ghosts
look,
in caves.
Sure.
And I have this last year now, I've had several pictures of caves, ghosts accidentally taken, and it's really boggled my mind with what I've come up with here. It's a new aspect of what I've been doing for all these years. It's been 60 years exploring. I've covered every kind of ground you can think of and things I wouldn't really go back
to. We need to talk, buddy.
I was thinking about you, Jimmy. I was thinking about you. Don Monroe, I want you to meet Jimmy Pooh.
Yeah,
Jimmy
Pooh
is a ghost hunter who has got me into thinking about the possibilities, and it's great. Jimmy, this is Don Monroe.
Nice to meet you, Don.
How are you doing? Are you a ghost hunter?
Yes, sir. All my life.
Well, you know about the Sharon Day Show, I guess, at ghosthuntingtheories.com?
Just now. I apologize.
Well, you should tune into it because she had a lot to offer. But I just found some first time in my life a year ago in July, still over a year now. We found quite accidentally some ghost pictures, six in fact, on our cell phone cameras. And it just made most of the guys tremble and quit. But they were, I've conferred with Indian nations with them and all kind of things, and they're valid and they're really, really spooky. And I got that new aspect of this Bigfooting thing going on, and it's not just Bigfoot we're after. It's anomalies of the world. They're all mysterious. There's so many things out there to learn. It's just incredible. There's so much to discover. It hasn't all been done. And between
yes,
every no. place you've gone, the place you didn't go back to, there's places you should have gone.
Yes, sir.
It's just the way it turns out, you know.
I totally
so let me
agree
ask
with
you. Do you think there's ghost Bigfoots out there?
Well, yeah. Well, I think what I've got, I won't share yet. You'll see my book coming out. That's part of it. But I've got creatures in there that are really there's ghost wolves, ghost bears. There's women faces that look like Eastern women from the Far East. There's men with beards. I've got some pretty weird stuff. And this sounds like a lunatic talking, but. We had three guys. I always have had them take pictures at random in caves or wherever I go, in the dark or whatever, a flashlight, and they come out with pictures. And usually it's just something like an orb or nothing at all. You know, it could be anything. But we got this time, all three of us got the same pictures. It was ghosts, and it was just mind-boggling. Or it was. And,
amazing.
Guys got pushed down into a mud puddle on the way back to the rig, and nothing pushed him over. We know about. But he fell in the water on one arm and lost his affection in the mud puddle. And we came back and got him later on. But the thing is, there's some spooky stuff out there that beyond my descriptions. I'm not into ghosts that much, but I've experienced quite a few of them accidentally. But how it happens, I do not know. But there's more than just the element of surprise in the discovery. You always have something unexpected comes along. It just does. And I won't go to the paranormal thing too far, but I do respect it. I do exonerate the possibility of it all the way around. There's all kind of things happen.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because, you know, I've kept an open mind to this, Don, and you know, Jimmy, you know, has introduced us into the ghosts. I mean, I'm a believer, okay, just haven't seen anything. And usually where the paranormal happens, like, you know, ghosts and stuff, there's always something going on with, like, maybe a Bigfoot or a Chupacabra or a Bearilla, like Dustin.
Well, you see,
about.
When I found out that there's things that if you find areas in the world, anywhere you go, I don't care where it's, New York City or where it's at, but you find places that are unusual in the structure, like in the mountains. You find rock formations that are real strange, that resemble people perhaps, or monsters. Mm-hmm. You'll find a petroglyph somewhere nearby, or a petroglyph. And you find also, when they find that kind of things, you'll find the adherence to it by people who want to find them, and also people who stay a while and dwell there, and also sometimes communicate with their Anakua or their fetish, their spirit self. They do this, mm-hmm. and Sasquatch are always found around those places too. And I think it's a drawing from, I want to say idol worship, no, I want idolatry, no, not that. But the thing is, it has a effect of curiosity to the point that they're enough human that they dwell there too, in that area. And by and large, all animals do that. Even you'll find deer and buck deer and so on hang by big rock formations. And you find antelope who notice where they can go up and down the hillocks in the desert, and they know where to go to identify with landmarks. So if you find landmarks that are outstanding, your chances are better to find the creatures, too, of all kinds.
Sure.
It's just kind of like a magnet.
Hmm.
And
Wow. You know,
you have
Don,
a guest on the show. I don't think I'll take the whole time. I know that you have other guests to talk, and I just, they want, you know, I could talk all night about nothing special, but there's a lot to go.
Don Monroe, it's our special honor and pleasure to have you on this night, you know. Like I said, when, you know, we're losing all the great Bigfooters, you know, and honestly, frankly, I'd love to have your, as much as you want to talk on tape for the rest of the world and the planet to hear into the 2050 century.
You got a question I can help you with? Maybe I got an answer. I don't know what you have in mind. I just came back from Texas, and I spoke down at the Crosbyton, Texas Museum the first part of the month at a convention down there, more or less, a meeting, and it was inspiring, and we had people there from Manitoba and all around the whole country who came there to speak. And I spoke on the horse breeding, on the breeding of horses being done in the world. And it's
Yes. Wow.
And I'm doing research on lions. You might tune in to Ligertown, Idaho, 1995 on your computer, and you get a small story in 1995. That's 23 years ago. And the losing, they shot 15 on the streets of Lava Hot Springs, and some of them got away, and an unknown number. And we think they're breeding with the cats in our mountains up here, because we killed one on my property. Our ranch property was 285 pounds this last February. There's been four more killed like that around the area, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming border, Montana. And
well, you're talking about the breeding of the horses' manes, correct, Don?
Well, that goes in conjunction with it, but this cat thing separately. It's about the ligers, wild ligers in Idaho and Montana right now, and they're 285 pounds. The breeding horses breeding is something that they all might talk about, but the horses are being breeded around the world according to moon phases and all seasons of the year, and it's an anomaly that takes a lot of effort to get involved in it. I've done it for 30 years, so I'm a side trip, but it's also a main event a lot of times.
Well,
and,
I want to bring you back a little bit, because, you know, actually you, and I want to try to remember the lady's name in Tennessee, were the first people that explained to me that these creatures would actually befriend the horses and then braid their manes. She used to give garlic to one of them when she was a kid off her old farm. What was her name?
Anyway, the book I have out, I think you'd enjoy it. It really is. It's been real popular in its own kind of way with people who realize what's going on with their horses. They actually recognize it. And it's an anomaly that is beyond description in just one or two sentences. This goes on wild Mustang horses in the desert. The Indians know about it. I've been down in the back with the Paiutes and so on, and it actually happens everywhere around, mostly the mare horses, females. And
well, you know, Don, I just thought of something. You know, I've got lots of callers on, and I'm going to bring them on one at a time and see if they have a question for you, and then we'll let you just enjoy your evening. How's that sound?
Well, one more thing. I don't want to be taking time from somebody else who could be on the show. Is somebody else up there want to interview a little bit? I'm not going to be here.
They've got tons of questions for you, Don.
Hey, I've got a couple of answers probably. Maybe they're wrong, but I'll try it out.
Yeah. Rocky, down in Arkansas, do you have any questions for Don?
No, I'm sitting here listening to what he's got to say. I'm pretty fascinated with what he's got to what he's putting out there.
The look at history and go back to Genghis Khan and before that, even in ancient horses of small sizes, before they even became more than meat, they braided the horses, people to them, the children and the baggage to have even for pack animals. And the Indians in North America and the people of Tibet and so on, and the Mongols have always ridden backwards if they want to and shoot arrows at the people behind them in battle. And they latch themselves on the braids and on the manes and on the tails and so on. And, you know, this is not a new thing, but it's carried on into tradition that is almost unspeakable as you see it happen. I found out lately from conferring with Indian tribes and things that they don't talk about this, but they know about it. And it's unbelievable that all, during all seasons of the weather, cold, Russia, China, Mongolia, all across the United States, all across the world, except for certain places, doesn't happen. And that's because of my theory, we covered that, but there's a land contact with peoples.
Mm-hmm.
When they haven't settled in ancient times, that the horses weren't brought. And so horses are newcomers to certain parts of the world in that respect.
So are the horses wild horses or are they tamed horses, Don?
Huh? Say it again.
Are the horses that are being found with their manes braided by the creature, are they normally wild horses or tamed horses?
Yeah, wild mustangs in the desert down in Nevada and all around. You know, I'm also kind of a cowboy after fashion, too, you know. I've done a lot of that stuff. But anyway, the horses are braided in the Nevada desert and down around all the places they have wild horses, it happens, and up in the Crazy Mountains in Montana. And you can go into BLM land where they have horses and handle them, and you'll see this horses occasionally come in. It's not the dredge log kind of thing. They roll in the dirt and dust and have them happen. They're all squeaky clean, and some of them even have pieces of wire braided into them and also sticks and different things to identify who and how and what horses are doing to them. Like they have the ownership or a peculiar way. The horses are never panicking in the morning after they've been braided. They won't eat the first 4 or 5 hours, so that's unusual for horses. You can hand and feed them, and they won't even touch it until they've calmed down. They'll turn away from you trying to hide the braid they have as if there's something wrong with it, or they don't want to kind of keep it to themselves like they're ashamed of it. I don't know what to say. But it's been going on a long time. I found also in the areas where this happens, been a half a mile away or less, there's always sheep. I mean, on a farm next by or a sheep herder on the field out there herding sheep or something around. Sheep seem to have something to do with this in an abstract way. They don't braid sheep as sheep's wool, but they seem to identify the sheep in some respects. So the book itself brings out a lot of facts. It came out in 2012 out of Hawaii. I put it out there at a Parker Ranch. But anyway, it's been 2012. It's been a few years, and it's still going, and it's I've got enough to write 4 or 5 more on that topic. But it goes into astrology, astronomy, and also traditions and witchcraft in some respects. It touches on that, and idol worship and adultery, all kind of things of ancient times. And what's important about this is that the horses that are being braided are docile to the effect. They don't seem to mind it. You can jerk on the braid, like they're made like a stirrup or like a handhold, and it'll alter on the months. The full moon is 8 days on both sides of the moon. There's 8 days, top, pretty close. Well, the days of the moon, moon phases, they don't necessarily braid the full moon unless they're out in the wild, around places they can be seen, whatever's doing this. Like a dusky night where it's kind of halfway like the moon of Diana, like the thieves' moon. You can see the steel and escape, you don't get caught. And like that to braid the horses. But it's Texas was inspired to call me down there to talk on that topic because a lot of horses in Texas are getting braided down there. And
Ghost Hunting Theories with Don Monroe. Wow. Outstanding.
I don't know. I hate to be the talker, but there's somebody else got a question that's relative to Bigfoot Society or Bigfoot
effort.
Yeah,
let me bring in Leo from North Carolina. Leo, do you have any questions for Mr. Monroe?
Oh, you know I do. You know I do, TJ. I mean, I'm just like Rocky, man. I'm sitting here. First of all, it is an honor, Mr. Monroe, to be on the same show with you. I've watched a lot of your videos. And one of my favorite videos is what TJ alluded to a little while ago, is when you was in Paris, Texas, and you discussed why you was out on the expedition. You showed them the actual print. TJ will tell you I'm a footprint type of person when it comes to Bigfoot research, because I send TJ pictures all the time of what I find in Warrior Forest. But it's just an honor to be on the show, man. I mean, my chin is always all the way to the ground right now listening to you. So I'm like a kid listening to his favorite football player. But I got one question for you. Have you ever had any particular encounter with these creatures, especially daytime, that stands out from many that you've already had?
Can you ask me that question? You asking me that question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What did you say, the daytime sightings?
Yes, sir. Have you had any particular sightings that stands out from among many that you get to?
In 2006, I was called into a place to make a camera set up in a motorhome in a trailer house, and it didn't come in regularly there to that area over the Julys of 40 years. Every July they show up there. And well, anyway, long story short, had a 45-minute interview with the family with the video being taken, and I went to set the camera for a 24-hour camera in the afternoon just before sundown, and she claimed, and I do believe her, that when she put on the music, found the Whopper or whatever it was, that something comes around and listens in the screen. I had the camera facing the screen and hadn't plugged it in yet. I see a shadow come across the grass, and I look out the window. Now, the screen can be, you can always see out of a screen window sometimes or into one, unless you get the angle right. The sun's just so. This creature came up to the window within 2 or 3 yards of me and snuck up kind of close to the window and peered in as if it couldn't see me, and I saw it then. And we was about 2 yards apart and maybe 6 feet. And I never forget what I saw, and it was not what I thought I'd see, but it was one of the different kinds. I've seen myself, I realize I've seen 4 alive creatures and other ones at night. So I'd say 6 for sure I've seen, with a dark 2 all. I've seen them doing that, and I couldn't identify their face, but I've seen their actions and so on. But this one here was such a shock to what I saw. It was this guy was small. He wasn't as big as 6 feet, probably the most, and very husky and very, very muscular. And I could see down as far as the belly button on the creature. And man, there was just as manly as you want to be, it could be. And iron worker, the old-time hammer man and the blacksmith, just like that kind of guy. And, you know, the intelligent look in his face, in his eyes, was such that you thought in a second or two you'd seen the world, he'd seen it better than you have. Just smart. And then, of course, street smart in the wilderness way, in the wild kind of efforts. And we went out and took tracks of the creature, and he ran into the brush at night, and a man named John Deutsch from Onorandex was with me, and he saw his fans chasing down the creek after this creature, and the birds were going out the roost in the trees in the waterway. But Ron Rosman was with me that time, and he came down and we filmed the holes in the side of the trailer house. They weren't holes, they were depressions where they beat their hands against the wall of the trailer house and were shaking it around, and the child in there, 11 years old, was in tears the next day, still crying about this, seeing the creature. And took us to a cave where he said it went into. And he went back to his home on a bicycle, and we explored the cave, and Ron Roldman found a nice track, and I give him credit for it. We cast it. It was quite an effort because it was on an angle, and it had to use a comb for a hair comb for a dam to start the plaster to build it up in sections to the length of the 14 inches. And it was more than that, actually, because that's all he could get because of the situation. But this creature we saw that day, it wasn't hideous. It was more of a revelation that these creatures are very variable. I've tracked them in the deserts of Nevada, down and around Searchlight, and down around Laughlin, and all around. And there's different kinds of them. I wrote an article of 11 pages long on a Great Basin lure in the Sasquatch. Basin extends from the Baja, California, all the way up to the Canadian border in the Washington, Idaho, Montana wilderness, and Florida, Colorado. But anyway, there's different kinds of Sasquatch out there. They all aren't relative to one species. They're like a Spaniard and a Chinese person and a Greek. They're not quite the same. And you might go on those kind of considerations. They don't necessarily mix with other kinds readily. They have their own kind of way of having dual personalities and dual types. Even in the same area of the swamps, there's more than one kind out there. I cast a lot of tracks for Tom Muscardi's dad and him years ago, a lot of them. I could see in the tracks and just variations it was uniform to a particular family or group. You want to say it that way. You can lay them out and look at that, and you can see some peculiarities of consanguinity, consanguinity genes and the DNA to a certain bunch. In the ecosystem of the Great Basin, there's 47 different ecosystems of waterways. And it's obvious that there's even squirrels in those places that aren't even related to each other. They're different. They still qualify and specify a certain species, but they still are relative to their area. And, you get into animal husbandry, and it's just like you and human beings who are you study ethnology and ethnography a little bit and start recognizing ear shapes and different things about people that tell you what their relatives might be. I mean, in relatives related in a given area, especially where people haven't moved around too much. And anyway, the Sasquatch, the same way. The ones on the West Coast are larger than the ones on the inland. They might meet once in a while and communicate, but they aren't necessarily associated. And they might snag a person from here or there to take with them for the gene pool reasons, but including humans, it can happen. And I see them in daylight. I got a picture here now. I took 2 months ago at random out in the desert out here, the desert mountains, and it's a great suspect Sasquatch in daylight. It's off about 500 yards, 400 yards. And it's very obvious. We came back and looked at over real good for possibilities of rocks or trees. It was not that. And, I have seen them in daylight.
Wow, man.
On index 2, 1 years ago in daylight, was on the 4 in the afternoon. We saw 100 yards away on a rock slide. So, yes, I have.
Wow.
And Don Sherman and I saw one, too, in the swamps down there together at about 10 at night or midnight, and it was about 40 feet away across the river, about 40-foot stream, and no doubt about what it was. We got the cast after it left, and we went down a half mile, walked around across the bridge and back to where it was at, took the cast, and I give it to your dad. Anyway, there was a creature acted like he went side to side, tried to see us, and he was curious, too, and we couldn't see his facial features, but definitely it was a Sasquatch. It was one of those creatures like that, or something like that. By the name, the Bigfoot word to me is a fallacy. It's a fallacy because the Bigfoot, they aren't all Bigfoot. It's a lot more smaller foot. Different ages of them. And I cast one in Bluff Creek that was only 5 inches long. I got the cast here in my house right now, my lockup here. And we had two of them. M.K. Davis and I took those casts together. And they were just minutes old. So, we have seen them in daylight. They compete with bears for food and bears for territory, and they associate that with berries and so on. They're very much, you find bears, you find Sasquatch. They eat the same food, a lot of them. And they're both, they're omnivorous. They're carnivorous when they can be, and they have to have the skunk cabbage and berries are readily available for both of them. And they don't communicate too well. They're actually enemies. As I see it, the bears and the Sasquatch are enemies. They both kill each other and children. I got that. So it's a big story. I'm not the last one to know what I think I don't, but I'm just learning to know how much little I know. It makes any sense. And there's so much to learn and so much more to pretend you know and don't.
Right. Don,
wow.
I wanna go back to the when I first met you, Don, it was the hand in the jar. You remember that?
Yeah, I still got it.
Wow. Okay, that's
That's
saying a lot.
Now in the Texas Museum at Crosbyton, Texas, by Joe Taylor. He's the guru of bone collecting. He's got mastodons and elephant stuff down from North America. If you ever get a chance to go to a museum, that's really got stuff in it. At Crosbyton, Texas, is down below Lubbock, about 45 miles. I just came from there. Joe's museum was impressive. I helped him to get things kind of organized in the future a little bit with the museum. He's got a lot to offer. He's got the hand down there now, and he's having research done on it. And there's still a possibility it was destroyed as far as the DNA in the meat of it because of the improper solution that first started off in, which was a shame. But that hand, he still had that hand. I've got one since, too. I can't get the dope on it. I've got pictures of it. It was a year and a half ago over in Lummi Nation over in Washington State. I happened on to some Indians who had it tossed in their yard, and they wouldn't divulge it at first, but I got them to show it to me and took the pictures of it. That's as far as I can go, because they won't let it go. And it's very much the same as what I have in my jar.
Wow. You know, folks, the hand in the jar was, and it's, if I remember the story correctly, I guess in a local dump, somebody found this hairy hand, and it was turned over to the police department, and, you know, they had to do a missing persons, and they checked for, you know, it was a murder, a dead body. So they sent it out to get it tested, and it came back not human. So they basically just said, not human, so we're good. And then you had sent it out with my father somewhere, and it basically came back as unknown. It wasn't
Captain Miller called me from Butte, Montana. And we're about 250 miles apart. He says, I know you're into this kind of thing, but you can look at those items. So I says, on the phone, I have him describe it to me. Is it good? And I says, I'll bring along a cast with me from my caves. It might be something like it. Well, I can still see his face turn red on the desk, but I laid my cast along his side, his hand, and we took pictures of it. I got the pictures. They're almost identical. I mean, they're close enough where you can almost scrutinize the fact that they are similar in their identity. And he says, this is yours. He says, I want you to take this on the road and find out the identity. I want to report back what you find, but that's as far as I want to go. He says, we are convinced you might have something similar to that in your mind. He says, well, I have over 200 casts the time I did have, and I have about half of those left. But anyway, the cast I showed him was so close, he wondered where I got the cast. I told him. He said, well, that's the story. I went from Washington, Vancouver, Canada, all the way down to Los Angeles with everybody imaginable, good for that, you know, the radiologists and the museums and everybody else. I couldn't identify it. So I gave it to Tom Sr., and he went on the road and did what he could, and he did quite a bit, actually, and I mean, he finally got it back. But he has a show on your show, on your show when it come on the radio or TV, you show that hand coming up there.
Yeah, it's actually in one of our movies. I want to say Bigfoot Lives 1 or maybe 2, I'm thinking.
It's Bigfoot 1.
One, right? And there was a, you know, I guess a few doctors that, you know,
the one who did that. He still has the original takes of his X-rays in the safe at his business.
Wow.
I just signed a month ago, and he's still interested in that. And there's been so much we can't talk about radio and cover it in an hour's time, but almost there now. But there's so much out there to learn, folks. Don't be discouraged by anybody who tells you they don't believe it. Pretend you believe it, you might find out you did.
You know, folks, time flies when we're having fun, just like we are right now. A few things I want to say. If you want to look up Don Monroe, just type it into the computer. Go into Google, type up Don Monroe and Bigfoot, and you're going to find a plethora of stuff. You're going to see every one of his books. You'll see the hand pop up. It's all there. And
Go on MK Davis Report blog. He's MK, by one of my partners, and he has a lot of things on there that no one even heard about that we've done all around the world, all around the United States. And, I've been as far as Australia on this, and I found Yowie tracks that match the ones over here. So I went down there in 2006 and spent time in the Tuluka, brought back Yowie tracks, and they match the ones in Montana. I'm just amazed by it. So they're not just relative to here. They come from other places, too.
They sure do, Don. Don, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart
for
being part of our family. appreciate you coming on. Yes, sir.
You come back for a shower anytime you want to in December. I always have ice water handy.
I can't wait to have the ice water.
Yeah, we get the ice stick and get up on the stove to get somebody's feet washed.
There you go. There we go. That and a little bit of coffee to wash down the rinds,
now,
right?
One more thing real quickly. Take coffee, make a pot, put it in the stove and boil it, toss chicken in there. And it's the best darn cowboy coffee you ever eaten, drank it, chicken in the world. It's just wonderful. It's called Wild Horse Canyon Coffee. You know, put a little sagebrush in there and a little bit of salt and a couple of asters if you want to and a little bit of garlic. And it's just a wonderful thing.
Hey, you know, I'm going to have to try that. A little bit of
boiled
chicken coffee,
I'll tell you,
that's
one teaspoonful of maple syrup in there for good measure, a little cayenne pepper.
All right, Don.
Don, the
legend, Don Monroe himself, folks. Don, it's always been a pleasure. I'm so glad and honored that I know you. And when I'm in the area, you know I'm going to pop in. It may be 2 in the morning, but I'll pop in. Because you never
Tell your dad I'm 82 years young, okay?
Yes, sir. Awesome, Don. Thank you, sir. And appreciate
you
coming on the show this evening.
Thanks, guys, for letting me talk. I didn't mean to take the whole night.
That's what we like, Don. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, you know, it's that time of year. It's Christmas and the holidays are coming up. Why don't you get on over to searchingforbigfoot.com, you know, stocking stuffers are a big need this Christmas and holiday season. And we've got that new movie that's coming that we just put out. It's Brutal Bigfoot. It's there. It's on Amazon. It's on our website. And you might even want to pick up Bigfoot Lives 2, or no, 1, because Don Monroe is in it. And you'll get to put a face to the name of the people we're talking about. Now, look, we got stickers, buttons, and coffee mugs, and you name it. If you got a Bigfoot lover in your family, we've got those items that are going to make him happy. And you can see it came right from the Searching for Bigfoot team. You know, with this last minute, I'm going to pop in to Leo here. And, you know, Leo, this is the first time I think you've ever heard talk to Don, isn't it?
That's the first time I ever talked to him, TJ. I've got a lot of the, of course, you know, I got all the videos from the Searching for Bigfoot, you know, my Bigfoot family and the Biscardi family. But I do got a couple of DVDs I got with Don on it, and on my Fire Stick, my wife always she always get on me all the time. She said, "It's either football or Bigfoot. Which one are you gonna watch?" So, you know, I got a lot of searching, a lot of searches that I do on the Fire Stick, and I go to different. And Don Monroe's been in a lot of videos that I've watched, and a couple has been with the Godfather himself, and I mean they are very interesting videos. And one thing I'll say this real quick about Don Monroe is, I say it behind his back, I say it to his face. When the man speaks, the information he gives you is information that makes you go, Not to say this guy's a nut. It's stuff to make your mind think. You go read, because it has some validity to it, even though it's coming off the tip of his tongue. I'll tell you that now.
Could I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Rocky.
Happy anniversary. This is Tommy's 25th anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Tommy.
Thank you, Rocky.
Drink only water, stay alive.
Thank you, Don. Oh, my goodness. You know, Rocky, why you always do this, but that's okay. I appreciate it, and thank you very much, folks. And I want to thank all our guests tonight, Mr. Don Monroe, the legend, he's a myth in my mind, but I know him, so he's there. You know, he's
one more thing, Tommy, get that book that's here on my book coming out called What the Hell. You'll really like it.
What the Hell. I'm going to Google that as soon as I get off the show. What the Hell by Don Monroe.
Coming out. Big one.
Yes, sir. Folks, it's that time of evening again. You can catch us next week on the Bigfoot Live radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you're going to find the guests that you don't get to hear on those other shows. So, once again, where is she, Miss Calabas? Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
I
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the fact.
In 1967.